Come to the scripture reading. If you want to use your Bibles, it's on page 1006 in the New Testament section, and it is also on the screen. Therefore, if you don't want to read it holding it, you can also see it on the screen. Jesus said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn. First the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such a big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord to us. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Well, now, parables of the kingdom. We've had Advent and Christmas and the Epiphany and Lent and Bad Friday, the Resurrection, Pentecost, and last, Trinity. What the Church of England does, and this is the beauty of our national church, is that it takes us yearly through the whole cycle, not only of Jesus' life, but in this Trinity season, all the way up now to Christmas time, is that it teaches lessons both for the church and the individual. And so it jumps around a bit in the lectionary, teaching us certain lessons that we need reminding of as the years and the centuries go by. So today, following Pentecost and the Trinity, we've got some parables about the kingdom as spoken by our Lord Jesus. A while ago, we were getting ready to go out for the evening to friends, and Alison got her jewellery case out of the drawer and took out a very fine chain necklace. Unfortunately, it was very tangled, and the more she tried, it seemed to get tighter. Come shining night in clean white press shirt and not much else, and I sat at her dressing table and with the aid of a large pin unravelled it into the straight necklace able to go over her head. Now, the Greek word that Mark the Gospel writer uses about explaining in private the meaning of the parables is the word we use to untie or unwrap a knot or problem so that it becomes clear. So this is what the Lord Jesus was doing with these disciples. They'd heard him teaching about the kingdom of God and they were still a bit puzzled, but in private he unwrapped it. He untied the knot of understanding. And of course, in these next few weeks, right up to Advent, lessons for the church and lessons for the individual about basic spiritual things. This Jesus, the carpenter from Nazareth, had such revolutionary, unusual, and attention-grabbing things to say that the crowds and the disciples sometimes didn't get it. They could not comprehend, understand, or see the implications of what Jesus was saying. Even the disciples who were with Jesus for 3 years seemed a bit thick sometimes. And you must read for yourselves as I lift them for you to read in our sermon notes, and they're out there on the table. In Luke 18:34, it says, "The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about." Indeed, in one instance, the Lord Jesus chides the disciples pretty cuttingly at Matthew 15:15, when he says, "Are you still so dull?" Woo! Fancy being with Jesus for 3 years, listening to all the wonderful new teaching, and they still didn't get it. Even after the resurrection, they weren't entirely clear what the Lord Jesus did, why he did it, and what it's all for. Why are you so dull? Now, the challenge, of course, for you and for me is that we can sit in our pew year after year, and some things in the Christian life are still a mystery to us. And so by reading the Word of God, asking God's Holy Spirit to come into our hearts and minds and to unwrap, to untie the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So I draw your attention to the disciples and the crowd's lack of comprehension. It is because Jesus understands us more than we understand ourselves. In Mark 4 it says, "With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand." So we're opening up here the idea and the concept that the writer to the Hebrews uses. He says, look, you've been with me and you've heard the word and you've read the Bible, but you're still on milk. Start gestating and start eating some meat and to get really stuck into the things of God as much as they could understand. So this is why this morning I once again begin at the bottom of the Bible reading and work backwards. These two parables are perhaps the simplest to interpret and apply to our everyday Christian life. So because of a time restriction this morning, and I'm going off to Ripley to do the service after here, I point you to two of the following. Now, in the first parable, we cannot make the seed grow ourselves, it says. And this is the most incredible mystery. Faith and patience by the farmer is needed. But there will come a time, the time of the harvest, when we shall get a good crop. Our daily walk with Jesus, our daily prayer time, and our daily Bible reading will bear fruit. It is as we discover daily that God is who he says he is, that grace grows within us as the Holy Spirit indwells us and melts us and molds us into the sort of people that God wants us to be. And then comes the harvest, a life full of grace and truth. So this is serious stuff. Stick at it with Jesus. Don't fret. Don't worry. Don't get frustrated when you sin today and don't sin tomorrow, and you begin to think that you are a failure. Jesus is with you in the growing maturity process. Now, the second one, the parable of the mustard seed, perhaps one of the best known parables. It's even simpler to understand. Or is it? We're talking about the kingdom of God here. This kingdom, teaches Jesus, is a spiritual kingdom and not the expected and prayed for military kingdom of someone like King David coming again and sweeping the wretched Romans out of Palestine. Something entirely different offers Jesus. The kingdom within us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And as we allow our lives daily to be moulded and melted and fashioned by God's Holy Spirit, so we begin to find ourselves doing the things that God wants us to do. And this is the kingdom of heaven here on earth as it is perfectly performed in heaven. One by one, the Father's will on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is encouraging us that from very small beginnings, the kingdom would grow in size and influence. Did you realize that within 40 years of the crucifixion, every part of the Roman Empire had been infiltrated by the gospel? Hallelujah. And a reminder to read and use lovely Tina's prayer topics in our prayer, in our star beckoning. For goodness sake, take it home, because our blessed Tina introduces us to the world in these prayer topics. And so, as the world is being infiltrated by the Christian gospel, so we need to pray for all that Tina draws our attention to. She puts us in touch with Christians around the world. Now, from 12 disciples, you remember, to 500 believers, you remember, and then 3,000 people present at Pentecost, outwards and upwards, the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ is infiltrating the world around us. But then we come to something a little bit sort of controversial, about the birds inhabiting the branches of the mustard bush. In another parable, the birds stand for Satan, snatching the seeds from the soil. And so we need to be aware that Satan will endeavor to get into our church. And we need to pray for our Pastor Francis, that he has spiritual awareness of seeing all that's going on and not allowing anything unfortunate to infiltrate into our own church. Satan will endeavor to get into our church and unsettle us and stunt our growth. Do you remember Judas within the disciples' band? Ananias and Sapphira in the Acts of the Apostles? And Simon Magus in Samaria, and so on. The bigger the net, the greater possibility of catching both good and bad fish. So we need to pray for our Francis as our pastor, as he looks around and sifts out and tests our own spirituality. My commentary by Wiersbe states this: through faith in Jesus Christ, we become citizens of the heavenly nation, children in God's family, and subjects of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a privilege it is to know and to love and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Two very simple parables this morning for you to go home and read for yourself, Mark chapter 4, this afternoon after lunch, before you have your snoozums. Amen.